Beloved Swa, I really want to share with you this feeling of deep, limitless gratitude. Being in your energy, in satsang, at your feet, has finally made it possible for my heart and soul to start healing again. And this is the best healing. It can heal anything. This last winter and spring, I have struggled so much and gone through so much pain. I have also turned my life upside down again and made a lot of changes. When I came here this summer, I had no energy left and I had totally closed myself down. I was a wreck. This is the thing. Yesterday also, somebody mentioned they were so hurt, no? Had so much hurt at their heart and the feelings had closed down. But when you stay slowly, slowly, you realize that you are not just your mind, you are not just your emotions, no? There is something else, deeper, higher, which you have forgotten. Then you got totally involved in just the feelings, in just the mind. Then you lost in the pain, in the hurt. So now, again, you got reminded now of this different dimension, a deeper dimension in yourself. Then you become very happy because everything now, you said, my life was upside down. This is what I'm doing. People are all upside down when they come, and I'm trying to change you, and so you're standing on your feet. But you are not used to that. You are used to standing upside down. So in the beginning, you feel very dizzy. I have to hold you like this here. That is wrong. You have to stand like this. You can get used to being upside down, and then to be the right way, it feels strange. I had no energy left. I had totally closed myself down. I was a wreck. But now I feel a new light inside, an inner strength that I have never felt before. Only in your energy, beloved, can this be made possible. And now you see also the value to be a wreck. Because now you have known how it is to be really down, flat on your face. Then you can really appreciate it when the light comes back. Both is needed. You need to see that, because then only the intelligence, the understanding that this is so valuable, now I want to take care of it. I feel free again, and my heart is so open and overflowing with love and gratitude. Only you, beloved, can do this miracle like this. Thank you 1,000 times. Much love and a big hug, Dishi. Very good. Now take good care of it, no? This is how it is. First, we are just like a seed. The seed has no idea. It can dream about becoming a flower. When it becomes a flower, it's totally amazed. I known myself only as a seed, just a little closed shell. And now look at me, I'm a flower. But don't get too used to it too quick, because you have to take care. Because the flower is very fragile. You have to put the right nourishment and the sun and the fresh air and water and all these things. Then the plant grows then. Too much negative things, too much stress, then it shivers, it's very sensitive. Beloved Bob, my story is a little different from what I've been heard the last few days. Hearts opening, tears of gratitude to you and all my beloved friends and even unfriends. This happened to me last year. This week I'm feeling balanced and happy, most of all enjoying the silent meditation in nature and swimming in the river, experiencing the waterfalls. This year I thanked myself for coming here. Last year I thanked you and many others. It's so precious to be here with you. First, Jayant, your story is different from everybody. Everybody has a different story. Never compare, no? Everybody is different, no? But there's something beyond the story. Beyond the story, there everybody is the same. This is the mystery. Otherwise, my story is a little different from everybody else, yes. And then you can get involved with your story. I have a bad story, I have a happy story, I have this, stories. But beyond all stories, there is peace.
It's not much of a story, just I'm feeling balanced.
Balanced, very good. Your aunt is in balance, that's a miracle in itself. That's great. I have done silent meditation daily for years. I find it a prerequisite for meditation that you love. I find it a prerequisite to do meditation that you love and you respect yourself. Is that why so many people shy away from meditation? Yeah. Because meditation can also just be hiding. That's what I talked about yesterday. If you don't respect yourself, if you don't love yourself, which is the inner transformation, really is just another name for meditation, then how can you sit with yourself? How can you meditate? How can you sit with somebody you don't love? How can you sit with somebody you don't respect? This is what people are trying to do. Before they have an understanding of themselves, they think, I'm going to meditate. In that way, they can meditate their whole life and there will never be any transformation. Maybe they will be a little more quiet, like doing a mantra or doing a ritual, but there won't be any transformation. So it's right, Jayant. So many people shy away from meditation. Because meditation is to be totally at ease. Meditation is accepting oneself totally. Being at peace. The mind is totally still, in balance. That you can't do, it is an outcome of knowing thyself. Meditation is not a doing at all. And people have so much doing in them that they bring this doing into meditation also. They don't know about meditation because you can't do anything. That's why here I trick you in from that way and that way. And suddenly meditation happened. You don't know how did it happen. You cannot force yourself to meditate. Meditation happens when you are in very balanced, silent, satisfied, happy space. Why should God come and visit some sad hangdog face, just complaining and problems? No, God doesn't. It's like, He says, then hopefully do your homework, then I will come for tea. Like that. At the same time, mindfulness has become big and common in Sweden. It is supposed to be a very good and effective, scientifically proven, evidence-based, they call it. But somehow I suspect it's not the right mindfulness that Buddha talked about, but meditation for specific goals. And that is not really meditation, is it? Please comment. I guess right mindfulness originally is called samasati, which doesn't sound as catching, at least not in Swedish. Yeah, because this is feels so more esoteric, like that. And then the normal people, they don't want to deal with that. Nobody wants to stick out. That's why this mindfulness, no, this is designed for the Westerners. It's a nice package to sneak in. You don't need to do anything. Just do this mindfulness. It's a scientifically proven, evidence-based, they call it. Anybody can eat it. Nothing. It's like... like some people, they don't even want to go and try Chinese restaurant food, no? They only want their meatballs. But mindfulness, yeah, maybe, because it's scientifically proven and it's accepted now in the society. And there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's great because it helps people. It helps people, but it will never transform people. When I mean transform, I mean to find their freedom, their true self. It will help them to be more in balance, to slow down, because that's what mindfulness is. So the ordinary stressful person, that's why in Sweden or in anywhere, it fits very good in society, because there is a deep need for it. It's a deep need to slow down, to be a little in balance. And this is perfect package because it's scientifically proved. Of course it is. And being a little aware of the sounds, of how you move, watching yourself, all this is great because people are so far away from themselves. That's why I'm all for it. I'm for everything that helps people. It will give them more balance if they stick to it. Mine is too much. Mine is too occupied. Mine is too anxiety. Mine is too stressed. And of course, then, anything you do, whatever you do, so now, 20 years ago, you just mentioned yoga. That's like, this is like something from India and gurus. No, everybody is doing yoga. It's accepted because it's the body culture. So it's like that. It's a beginning, but it's great. You should have a healthy body. You should have a healthy mind. You should be relaxed. So all these mindfulness techniques, which comes from the Buddhas, from the enlightened ones, from meditation. It will help. Of course it will help. Because people are so stressed. Any simple technique will help if you do it. Like I'm all for just being aware of your breath. It's a master technique. But it's not easy. You need to have the right atmosphere, the right energy. Then that's all what you need, because you will slow down. And the breath is always happening in the moment. And that is what meditation is, to be present in the moment. But it might be a long training. And this mindfulness or these techniques for the ordinary stressful, anxiety-pressed people, it might be very difficult. It will help. Here I work with everything. I get you to laugh. I can dance with you. I can scream to you. I can take you into silence. We can cry. We can go banana. We can go into silence. And as far as I'm concerned, the humans are multidimensional. Multidimensional. So it's very difficult for some people just to be aware of that. It can be a forceful thing. Then you have different kinds of human beings. Some is more identified with the body types. For them it's very difficult to sit quietly. Very difficult, because so much physical energy. The whole energy wants to move. For them, much better just to go for a jog, go for a swim, climb a mountain, dance, do kundalini. Then they will be quiet. But to start with this is very difficult. Then some people are more in the mind, very developed mind, they have to think, they have to figure things out. For them is more this meditation, they can more watch. You use the mind to be centered like that. Not so much energy in the body. Then more people are connected with the emotions, the heart. For them, very important that first they cut out, they unburden themselves, no? So all these different sides, I work on you to first unburden. Then this mindfulness, these relaxations, this balance, it comes by itself. It's very difficult to do it by practice. Of course, it will help, but it will not transform you because you are multidimensional. You have to get all the parts unburdened, in balance. And the miracle of miracle is when you are unburdened, when you are relieved of your tensions, of your mind, of your physical stress, of your emotions, of your identifications, which is what mindfulness also go for, not being so identified with the outer things, getting more centered inside. But more difficult, because if that understanding is not there. And these people in the society, they are not seekers. It can help. It's like, okay, mindfulness is accepted by my neighbor, and I saw a poster in the coffee shop. Then it's okay. So it is, as far as I'm concerned, it is good. Anything that helps people, the stressful, anxiety people, is good. But things are not going so good in the West, no? This is why all this, no, they are desperate now. Otherwise, they wouldn't look for that. They wouldn't look for meditation, for mindfulness, for anything. But the Western society, they are in a mess. It's chaos. It's depression, it's stress, it's anxiety. And this is known over the whole society. So then people, they will get more interested in everything. So it's good that different technique, they can be mindful around and practice at home like that. Thich Nhat Hanh, however, has some recommendation, like keeping a half smile in daily activities, on waking up, etc., and considering each daily activity as the most important thing in your life. For example, washing dishes, drinking a cup of tea, even sitting on the toilet. Why not? No, why even? What is more natural than sitting on the toilet? They said even Mahavira got enlightened on the toilet. Maybe the only master who's known for... He's known for more than that. But then you can imagine squatting down and then the let go. And the man got it, he got enlightened. Total let go. So it's just a reminder that enlightenment can happen anytime, anywhere. Just be totally in a let go. And which better place than on the toilet? So why even sitting on the toilet? It's nothing. What should we do without the toilet? Then it would be tough. So this Nat Han, who is a Buddhist and doing Buddhist meditation, he's totally right. Everything of this is totally right. And he's saying keeping a half smile in daily activities. That I haven't heard about, but I like it. And he, this man, he has a lot of Westerners. He's very famous in the West. And he must have known for long, I don't know, he must, for 30 years, he must have been doing Vipassana and Buddhist meditation. And seeing all the Westerners, which is not natural for them to meditate, they get very serious. I have seen them in the ashrams and the monasteries in India. They are very serious. So then he have observed, which is very good, all the power to Nat Han. So this must be the reason that keeping half smile in daily activities, walking up, why not keeping full smile? That's my, it's like, why hold back? Why not be total? But here, all this is happening by itself. Look at these people. They are so happy. Watch each daily activity as the most important thing in your life. Exactly. This is all Buddhist techniques. Whatever you are doing, be totally in it. I always remind you when we go into silence, now put all the attention to yourself. Be aware how you walk. Be aware how much you are start looking, energy going out. Be focused what you are doing. Put the whole attention to yourself. Be aware how you eat. Eat a little more slow. Be aware how you brush your teeth. Be aware on anything you do. Be aware how you sit, how you breathe. Then how the mind is, then how your emotions are. Be aware. That is the whole message of the Buddhas. Be aware. But it's very difficult to be aware if you don't even are aware of these outer daily things. And that's where all the techniques start like that. Being aware, washing dishes, drinking a cup of tea, even sitting on the toilet, anything. Do you have any useful tips and recommendation for daily meditation? This is many tips. All these are good tips. There's so many tips, Jan. Be happy and grateful that you are alive. No? Just that feeling, be happy and grateful that you are alive. Your awareness goes into that. I'm alive. I'm free. I'm living here in a country in the world that is free. You can do whatever you want. I have enough money. I have friends. I have a healthy body. Just simple things, then gratitude, understanding comes. Then you have enough understanding to do what is good for you. You're getting more conscious. All these things is very good to remember. You enjoy the little things because nothing is for granted in this world. But in some mysterious way, you are here. You are here in this beautiful oasis. You are here interested in meditation, interested in consciousness, interested in awareness. Who is that? Very few people of the population. So out of this understanding of just seeing how things are, and that is really the essence of meditation. That is my tip, just see things as they are. But very people see things as they are. They see only fragments. The bigger picture you see, the totality, then immense gratitude, immense silence. Being a witness to all that is happening. Then you are free. Not being identified, just seeing everything as a film. But this you cannot do. Maybe you can practice, maybe techniques, maybe mindfulness, maybe all this can be helpful. But the ultimate is just to be in your own center, realizing that your own freedom, and all this is a gift. And being happy, you will share. And that is what the world needs. They need people who can share their silence, their joy, their love, their compassion. This is what all the mystics, all the Buddhas have said from the beginning of time. First, you have to transform yourself, understanding, gratitude, living in the moment. Then sharing this with anything. It can be humans, it can be nature, it can be the wind, it can be yourself, it can be to God, it can be to the tree, anything. Then accepting living, seeing things as they are. With no interpretation or judgments from the mind, meaning you are not identified with the mind. That is meditation, seeing things clear.
I wrote this letter in great haste because the time was coming, even past 10 o'clock when you have to leave. So I really didn't have time to finish.
No, you want to finish now? What is it you want to say now?
Last year, when I was here, I made a tune.
A tune, I knew it. Yeah. You want to play a tune now.
But then there is also one more thing.
Yeah.
I think that is more important.
Yeah.
Do you know the Kashmiri woman, mystic, Lala,
yeah.
The poet?
Yeah.
I brought her book with poems. Maybe you could read one or two or three of them.
Give it to me now.
It starts at the...
I have this.
You have it. But I never heard you... comment
on her. No, but then you have to come back. She is beautiful. She said, in this state, there is no Shiva. nor any holy union. That is what meditation is. That is just your natural state. There is no gods, there is no nothing. There is no holy union, because there is no I. I am that. Just these two sentences is enough. In this state, there is no Shiva, nor any holy union. If there is a holy union, you must long for something. If the union is already there, there is no union, you are already that. There is no gods, there is no God, there is no Shiva. No, because I am that. Hayom! La la. My sister, la la. That was nice. My fearful, always moving mind. The one who has no beginning is thinking of how hunger may fall away from you. The mind is always moving, always fearful, always worrying about food. And there must be hard to get food in Lala's days. No? So always problem. The mind is always worried about the future. How can I survive? This is what you see, even if you're enlightened, and before you are steady, established in your true nature, then the mind is not like that. It takes time to get stabilized. Still, she is watching the mind, how it goes. She has a distance to it, but the mind is moving. She is still worried. So she speaks to all mind. You who are so restless, always worrying about hunger and all these things, safety, comfort. How can you be quiet? No, the one who has no beginning. The one who has no beginning. That is her true self. Her awareness is watching, consciousness is watching the mind. No behavior. That's what I tell all of you. No, you have an insight of the mind, but no, be aware. No, you don't need any technique, any meditation or nothing. The whole awareness should be aware of your own mind. Don't let it disturb you. But for that, you have to have first an insight of your true nature. No, she is talking to her own mind. She says, no ritual, no religion is needed. And of course, being in India, where do they have so many rituals as in India and in the East? They have rituals for everything, everywhere. But she says, no ritual, no religion is needed. What is needed is to see things as they are, which is very difficult by your self, by any technique, by any mindfulness. That's why they always said the best is to be with the Lala, to be with the Kabir, to be with the Master, to be with the Guru, because then you get the proof. Falling in tune with the Guru, then you can feel it, you can sense it. It's the easiest way. Then transformation happens by itself. Because it's in the energy, you're opening up, and that spark goes in you. Just give one, this is like what the Zen people say. Lions roar. Just one unobstructed cry from your core. Just one thing that is total, just do one thing. Doesn't matter if it's a cry, or if it's a shout, or if it's any action, or anything. That's what she means. Just do one, try one thing that you have your whole totality in. Then you will see. Then no ritual, no religion is needed. Listen to me, just let go. Taboo. Beloved, beloved Master, you swept away my past, the grey and mossy oyster shell that I thought I was is opening, and inside it a shining pearl. I still cannot believe that this pearl is me, but you have flooded it with your light so many times. That's what the Master do again and again, has to flood you. Do you believe it now? Do you believe it? Can you see it now? Take notice what is there. Again and again, bringing you back to yourself, to your pearl, to your inner diamond, to your own essence. I totally trust you, and I will let you feed her and grow her until every single cell of my mind will recognize that this pearl is me. My heart already knows. Then, that's what I said, that is the whole sadhana, all technique now. Don't let the mind disturb you. You know already now. Don't let the mind drag you down now. Rise. See things as they are. My heart already knows. In wonder and ecstasy, yours eternally grateful, Asmita. Isn't it great? How can it happen? How does this happen? Is beyond any technique, any ritual, any. But it's happening. How does it happen? Even without mindfulness, where's your mindfulness? There's no mind at all. That is the ultimate technique. How did it happen? This is not, you cannot teach it, you cannot study it, but still it happens. That's the miracle. Yes, well, I was in veggie cutting today, and it was a wonderful experience. You see, here, veggie cutting is very beautiful. It's wonderful. When we were almost finishing, they told us they had a surprise. More green beans had just arrived. Everybody was happy, and we worked together in the most harmonious way we could. And it was so beautiful. Then I started wondering, what place is this where more work means more joy? What place is this where doing anything that is supposed to be dull and hard normally is actually beautiful and light? What place is this where safe means sitting on a rock in the sun? Where happiness is doing something or anything as long as you are there? Where freedom is dancing what your body feels? Where freedom is letting yourself go? Where you are more when you are less? Where losing yourself is finding yourself? Where everybody is so unique and yet so alike? Where more empty you are, the more you love you feel. Where it's so good to be together, but it's also so wonderful to just be with yourself. Where you feel heaven right here on earth. Where death makes you so alive. Where the master is standing so far away from you is actually living inside your heart. Imagine all the people living life in peace. That's what John Lennon said. No, very nice. I'm so glad that this is not a dream. I'm so happy to have found this place. I'm so happy to be this place. Thank you. Thank you for making it happening, for being real. Thank you for making my heart real. With all the love in my heart, Mighty. Hey, Mighty. I'm happy. No, you are here now. The first time, no? No, you know how it is, no? You are welcome. Listen, your new place, no? Your new family. This is exactly what you were saying here. You know, the mindfulness, the enjoyment comes by itself. Anything you do, you just enjoy. Cutting the vegetables, working in the garden. I will play you a song, Mighty. Anything you like to say? Thank you. You can only say this beautiful thank you when you have received something very beautiful, no? Then you say thank you. You are helpless then, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say, you don't know what to give. You can only say thank you. Like that, that is beautiful. Dear beloved Master Swara, I have just one question. Krishnamurti talk about choiceless awareness. I always have the feeling that I should let existence decide what is best for me. Can you talk about this a little bit? Eternally grateful, your disciple Darshan. Krishnamurti talks about choiceless awareness, which all enlightened people talk about. But remember, that is from the enlightened space. When you are not identified with the ego, then you are one with existence then. Then you are not running this show. There is no resistance because you know that that ego is not your real self. You are settled in your witness, in your awareness, in your silence. From that space, there is no choice. There's a choiceless awareness. That's what he's talking about. So from his side, that is totally right. For ordinary people, it's very difficult. And it will change. First, you are slave of the choices. Then you realize you have choice. You can make choices. And from my experience, people have to first be strong enough to do good choices. Many people don't even take choice. Then when you become more integrated, you can play more with choiceless awareness. This Jay Krishnamurti is a beautiful man, but he said he had no method, no technique. He didn't believe in any guru, any master, nothing. And still people were following him. You see, when people speak the truth, people are always thirsty, no? He didn't want any disciples. He said he is not a guru. And people were following him for 50 years. But the thing is, he talked from the peak. And he gave no method, no technique, how to get there. That was the dilemma. And I don't know any of Krishnamurti people who got enlightened. With Osho's, I know a lot. He talked from the peak, but also he talked from the gutta. And he gave techniques. Because you have to have a ladder to go from there to there. You see, this is the thing. You have to work on yourself to get there. There is a time where no more work is necessary. But then, work or technique drops by itself. Till that time, technique can be very helpful. Because it gets you out from the mud into the dry land. So it is different stages. So this Krishnamurti, he's totally right. There is choiceless awareness, but that is from a state of enlightenment. When you are not identified. When you are not identified with the mind, with the ego, then you're just observing them. You're just being the witness. Like Krishnamurti also say, you are not the observed, you are the observer. You are the being, the witness that is observing everything. You are not the observed. You are not the outside. That was his way of saying it. Remember yourself. Like Gurdjieff was talking about self-remembrance. It's the same, it's just talked in different languages from the mystics. The Taoists, the Zen people, the Sufis, Osho. Me, everybody says the same in different words. But that is the ultimate. When you are free of the ego, then you are one. Then is not a choice. Why should there be a choice if you see? There comes no question up. If you see a tree and you go towards it, you go either on the left side or you go on the right side. Who cares? There is no choice in it. It comes by itself. So choiceless awareness is like when your mind is not in it. the decision doesn't come from the mind. It comes from your clarity that this is what you do. It's not even this is what you do, it's happening, because life is happening. Even if you stop all planning, do you think life will stop? You have your plans. If you stop that, life goes on. Totally beautiful. You don't know. So we are used to planning. We like to have a kind of program. But if you get out of the way, life will still happen. And that is what enlightenment is. You don't know. You are living in the moment. You don't have the plan. Anything can happen. So I always had the feeling that I should let existence decide what is best for me. That is good. But be aware of the mind. Because any actions that comes from a choiceless awareness is totally effortless. Because it comes from your natural side. There is never any thinking about it. This is a natural way of acting, is effortless. If there is any effort, it means that the mind is involved in it, because the mind is effort, is always weighing for and against things. Should I do this or should I not? From your pure space, you use the mind, but your awareness, a different, more stronger part of your being, your clarity itself, is using the mind as a vehicle, because you have to decide something. You're buying a ticket to go there or there. You have to go to the grocery store tomorrow. That is fine. But that is not the choice. It's just what is necessary. Like the Zen master say, I go and chop wood when I feel cold. I go and catch water when I'm thirsty. I sleep when I'm tired. I eat when I'm hungry. This is not a choice. It's a spontaneous thing. But he doesn't stuff himself like humans, unconscious humans do. He doesn't do anything that is not needed. If you are conscious, it's very difficult to do anything that is not needed. It becomes very, you preserve your energy. You do what is needed. And if not, you just enjoy. You just sit there. But non-doing, which the mystics also talk about, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything. Non-doing means that you are not identified. So you can do things, like Maiti got the hit taste of when she's chopping the vegetable. Always it's been a drag. It's work. Certainly when you are not identified, you are in the flow. You are empty. This is not conscious in the beginning. That's why many people who are first time, they're innocent, they get these experiences, because they don't have anything to expect. They just fall into it. Then how can this be possible? Because there is no mind, you have no plan how it should be, what you should do. You're just in it. You forget, you are just becoming the action. When you get stabilized in it, you are flowing with that all the time. So it's difficult from the state of the ego, from the mind. But from the state of no mind, from your natural self, it's totally spontaneous, it's effortless. Because there's nobody there in the way. But everybody talks about effortlessness, choicelessness, being empty, the Buddhas, the Taoists, the Zen people. The Buddhists say that this effortlessness or choicelessness is the outcome of a mature meditator. No? When meditation has gone deep, then you start seeing this. It comes from the inside. It means you are not so identified with what you do. You are the witness. You are the self. You are not the small ego self. You can do anything, but you are not identified with it. That's how you should live, Darshan. Just be free. Just don't be so identified with it. No, you have a good job tomorrow, maybe no job. Who cares? Trust life. And if the shit is the fan, come back here to the forest dwellers. This is where the old Taoists, they all escaped here. This is where they are. And they're having fun now also. The more you become just yourself, a silent witness, centered, then you will see, out from your clarity, out from your own consciousness, you see what is the right thing to do. There's not a question about choosing there, because you see what is right. You see what feels natural. You see what is needed. And you will not do more than what is needed. If you need to make money, you make money. If you feel like you should take a break, you take a break. You do absolutely what life calls for. You're spontaneous. You're responsible. But you are untouched of any actions, any doing. In your core, you are free. That's how you should live. Aum Shanti.